y'all. Thanks for listening to Killer Queens.
Or KQ if you're nasty.
Welcome to the show where two 90s loving country chicks gab about true crime and tell each other to talk to the hand because the face ain't listening. I'm Torella.
And I'm Tori.
And we're sisters who have always loved true crime and decided to turn that obsession into a show with a light take on the topic.
Kind of like diet true crime, it's all the flavor and fewer calories.
Now with our show, you'll get true crime, 90s nostalgia, and a few four-letter words sprinkled in.
Because I always say that Polly Pockets and true crime go together like peas and carrots.
Be sure to check out our case submission form on our website at killerqueenspodcast.com and follow us on social media and YouTube.
Now grab your Surge, your 3D Cool Ranch Doritos, and your kitten surprise, and let's get into the episode.
This episode contains discussion of drug abuse. Listener discretion is advised.
On August 8th, 2013, 26-year-old Brandon Lawson left his home in San Angelo, Texas after a huge fight with his fiancée. She hoped that he'd return after cooling down, but she woke up the next morning to find multiple missed calls from Brandon. She quickly learned that while she was asleep, Brandon's brother Kyle had left to bring him gas after he'd run out on a desolate road. After several strange phone calls to Kyle, Brandon made a 911 call begging for help, saying that he was being chased. When Kyle finally arrived, he found Brandon's truck abandoned, but his brother was nowhere to be found. 10 years later, some questions about Brandon's sudden disappearance have been answered, but his family is still left wondering what happened to Brandon that night.
Hey, you guys, welcome to Killer Queens. If you've never been here before, we want to give you just a little information about how the show is set up and what it's meant to accomplish. If you have been here before, welcome back. You can just use that handy skip ahead feature here if you want to.
We want to give a message to friends and family of the victims. We know that there may be someone involved in the case who might listen one day, and we want you to know that our intention is to only bring awareness to this case. And while we do use personal stories in some instances and our own humor in order to tell the story in a way that listeners can relate, we have the utmost respect for victims and their families.
We created Killer Queens to be a place where we can have open discussions about cases just like you would with friends. We are not investigators. We use information that is available to the public, such as documentaries, case files, and media coverage. Using this information, we intend to tell the story of what happened in each case that we cover. Now, will you agree with our interpretations or conclusions of each case? Well, heck no.
Mm-mm. We each approach cases from different perspectives, life experiences, and beliefs that we already have in place. And sometimes these differences are slight, yet they can be wide enough to cause divide and upset some of those listening. We do our best to present the facts as we find them in our research, but we do bring our own perspectives to the case. We understand that you will too. We want you to know that this is a safe space to discuss differences and opinions in a civilized manner. Our style may not be your personal preference, and if that's the case, we know you'll be able to find one of the many other shows out there to tell the story the way you want to hear it. We can be grown-ups about it if you can.
Now, if we are your cup of tea and you want even more KQ, you can join our Patreon and get access to our entire catalog of episodes ad-free and access to bonus episodes too. And I'll give you just a little hint if you're an ad skipper, but you still want the deals that we have from our sponsors each week, you can scroll down to the show notes and see what coupons we have available for you right down there.
But you didn't hear from us.
That's a pro tip, but I'll deny ever sharing it.
Right. So all that being said, let's get into the story.
Oh, man. This is one of those cases that's like kind of a huge staple in the true crime world, I feel like. I have heard multiple episodes on this case over the years. Like, it's just one that, like, as soon as it came up on our schedule, I was like, I know that one. Like, it's been pretty widely covered. I had not heard the updates, though.
Right.
That we will talk about at the end. And it was requested by a few people for us. We want to give a hey girl thanks to Andrea Marie Imbarato, Jenna and Katrina Bailey.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to Madison for writing it up.
Yes. Thank you. We love you guys.
Yeah.
All right. So let's just jump on in, shall we?
I think we should.
Brandon Mason Lawson was born on November 18th, 1986 to Kimberly and Bradley Lawson in Fort Worth, Texas. He had two brothers, Kyle and Billy, and a sister named Brittany. Brandon loved the outdoors and could often be found fishing or camping. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of information published about Brandon like before his disappearance. So pretty much everything you hear about Brandon comes after he's disappeared. But it's clear from the life that he lived that he was a hard worker and he was a man who loved his family. Brandon lived with his high school sweetheart, LaDessa Lofton, in San Angelo, Texas. The two had met when she was a sophomore and he was a junior. LaDessa said that Brandon approached her in the hallway asking if she knew who he was, and she responded, "No, am I supposed to?" Brandon then asked her to write her number down on a piece of paper. She did, and they quickly fell for one another, LaDessa completely charmed by Brandon's laugh and personality. And she admitted that they were by no means a perfect couple, but they did love each other very much.
I mean, that's normal. Like, nobody's a perfect couple.
Yeah, and they're also very young at this point, you know? Like, there's a lot of, I don't know, there's just a lot of factors, but yeah, nobody's perfect. They did have three children together, and then Brandon also had a child from a previous marriage. Brandon had struggled with drug abuse, specifically with the use of methamphetamine, but had been maintaining his sobriety as of late. So 26-year-old Brandon worked in an oil field, sometimes in excess of 80 hours a week. Because of this, LaDessa said that Brandon was due to start a new job soon. There was no question that Brandon was absolutely exhausted and under immense amounts of stress due to his demanding work schedule, along with his other commitments. Things seemed to hit a breaking point in August of 2013 as Brandon spent an entire night out, leaving LaDessa and the children wondering where he was. All right, so there's a lot of stuff that happens this night. There's a lot of back and forth. It's hard to kind of keep track of all of it, but we're going to break it down the best we can. So, Brandon's brother Kyle later reported that Brandon had called him on the night of August 7th, asking him if he knew where he could get any meth. When Brandon finally returned home on August 8th, a fight quickly started between him and LaDessa. And just before midnight, Brandon left the home in his Ford F-150 pickup truck with the intent of heading to his father's home in Crowley, Texas. Brandon had wanted time to cool down after the fight with LaDessa. He was going to drive to his father's house, which would take over 3 hours. This is the last time that LaDessa would ever see Brandon. And the thing about the meth, so if you, Kyle does an interview with Crawlspace, which is a podcast, and he says that Brandon had been sober because of his job. He had to get drug tested and he had recently been drug tested. And so he was like, or I think, for the new job he was going to start, he'd already done the drug test for that.
Right.
So he was like, I want to get high.
Well, yeah. I mean,
so
yeah, he doesn't have to worry about a surprise pop-up drug test, right? Because he just was drug tested. So
yeah, he just did it. So he's like, now's a good time. And Kyle said, Brandon was the kind of guy, like, he had struggled with it before. But at this point, he said he kind of just did this every once in a while. He'd be like, hey, I just kind of want to get high, like the one time. He's like, he was like, he would do it one time and then not do it for a long time. He said that he did tell him when he asked him if he knew anybody he could get it from. He was like, dude, don't do that. Like, you don't need to do that. Don't worry about it. You know, like, just, you've been working hard. Just like, stay where you are. And he really wanted to. So Kyle put him in touch with somebody and then he was able to get it. So Kyle says, I don't believe he was high on meth this night. I know for a fact that he had been on meth that night.
Right.
So, and obviously that's just going to play into things, you know, your state of mind is going to be different. I've never done meth. I don't know. But there are cases that we've covered or, you know, things that we've seen where you can feel very paranoid.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So. Brandon called his father, Bradley, around 11:30 p.m. before leaving to tell him that he was headed to his place in Crowley. At 12 a.m., LaDessa called Brandon's cell phone and asked him to come back home, worried that he was, you know, this is a long trip. This is 3 hours. It's in the middle of the night. And LaDessa had also called Brandon's brother, Kyle, worried about Brandon. Kyle offered to come to the house and check on her and the kids. At 12:34 and 12:36 a.m., LaDessa missed 2 phone calls from Brandon. At 12:38 a.m., Brandon called Kyle and told him that he'd run out of gas along Highway 277 near Bronte. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. Kyle said that it was difficult to entirely understand what his brother was saying due to poor cell service, but he heard Brandon say, quote, I'm 10 minutes up the road. Just hurry up and get here. Kyle also heard Brandon say, quote, three expletives are chasing me out of town. And the expletive reportedly referred to Mexican people. When Kyle heard Brandon say this, he asked his brother if he was high, and Brandon said, no, I'm not. At 12:40 a.m., Kyle called Ledessa and told her that Brandon had run out of gas, and she said that she would leave a gas can on the porch for him to take and that she was going to take a shower and she was going to go to bed. Because Brandon had the only wall charger for the cell phones, Ledessa ended up putting her cell phone to charge in her van that night. At 12:48 a.m., Ledessa missed another phone call from Brandon. Kyle made his way over to Brandon and Ledessa's home, along with his wife, Aubrey, and their four-year-old son, to grab the empty gas can. There were multiple calls back and forth between Kyle and Brandon, most of which ended up being missed calls. At 12:50 a.m., Brandon called 911. And because of how small the town was, 911 calls actually rang to a nearby nursing home. The receptionist who answered would triage calls and dispatch appropriate resources when necessary. And we're going to go ahead and play the 911 call here and let you guys hear what that was like.
9-2013, 0:50:38.
911 emergency.
Yes, I'm in the middle of the field. It's like we're just pushing guys over. Right here going towards Javelin on both sides. Touch up, ran out of gas. There's one car here. You got to take the bitch to the woods. Quick burn.
Okay, now run that by.
The one I talked to him. Hi, so you ran into him.
You ran into him. Okay.
That's the first guy.
You need an ambulance?
Yes, no, I need the cops.
Okay. Is anybody hurt? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Mental health is so important, which is why we want to prioritize it this year for sure. If you're ready to go on your mental health journey too, Cerebral can help. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space.
So my goals for mental health this year are to help relieve my anxiety, manage depression, and just feel more uplifted and focused. And I think that's kind of what we all want and need, right? But with Cerebral, you're not just a name or diagnosis. Your clinician seeks to understand your unique needs, goals, and experiences to shape your path forward.
And I mean, we have been really open about our mental health journeys on this show. And I think some of you know that I had some postpartum anxiety after I had my second child. And I felt just really like nobody was hearing me. Like when I knew that I was having panic attacks, which I had never had before, and I called my doctor's office, they literally told me they were going to start me on the medication they start everybody on, no matter what their issue is. Like, and then when that wasn't working, they said, oh, well, let's double your dose.
Well, yeah, one size fits all mental health.
Yes.
Practices, and that doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And it just feels like you're just kind of getting the same treatment plan that everybody else is getting, and they're not actually listening to you. Like, you can say the things that you need to say, and they're like, you know, it's just, I've not had a great experience with that. And we are just really, really love the way that Cerebral takes their approach.
Yes. You'll have an expert clinician working alongside you to craft a treatment plan that is tailored to your individual goals. This roadmap will outline the milestones you'll achieve along the way, so you'll always know what to expect and you can track your progress towards wellness. So whether you're looking for therapy, medication management, or both, Cerebral has you covered. Connect with highly qualified therapists and medication prescribers, all from the comfort of your own home. If you feel like you're not making progress with your therapist or prescriber, you can switch to a new one at any time.
To get started on your path towards better mental health, Cerebral is giving our listeners 15% off their first month of online therapy, medication, or both. Get started at Cerebral.com/podcast and use our code QUEENS. That's Cerebral, Cerebral.com/podcast, and use our code QUEENS to get 15% off your first month. Make 2024 your best year yet. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. See site for details.
At 12:51 a.m., Kyle called Brandon and left a voicemail, and at the same time, Brandon called Ledessa again, which went unanswered. At 12:52 and 12:54 a.m., Audrey and Kyle called Brandon, no answer. At 12:57, Brandon called his neighbor, then called Kyle twice. At 12:58, Brandon's neighbor called him back three times. Kyle also called Brandon again. Around this time, a trucker that had been driving along Highway 277 reached a small gas station. While he was there, he called 911 to tell them that there was a pickup truck on the side of the road. And the way that the truck was parked, it was sticking out into the road and he almost hit it. So he was like, I don't want anybody else to almost hit this truck.
Yeah.
At 1:04, the call taker at the nursing facility who'd taken Brandon's 911 call tried calling him back to get more information about what was happening and exactly where he was located, but Brandon did not answer, so she left a voicemail. At 1:09, Brandon called Kyle three times. At 1:12, Kyle called Brandon three times. At 1:15, Brandon called Kyle twice, which were the last calls made from his phone. Kyle was actually on the phone with Brandon as he pulled up to Brandon's truck, and law enforcement arrived shortly after and pulled up behind Brandon's truck. Deputy Neal was responding to the call that the trucker had made about the, you know, his truck being in the road. And Kyle told Brandon that he was pulling right up then, and he said that Brandon told him, quote, I can see you, I'm right here. Neither Kyle nor Audrey could see Brandon anywhere, but despite this eerie statement, Kyle says that he was not overly concerned. During an earlier call between Kyle and Brandon, Audrey and Kyle said that he told them that he was about 10 minutes up the road and bleeding. So still, Kyle believed that Brandon was fine and that they'd see him soon. Audrey texted Brandon that there was a cop behind his truck, and Kyle knew that his brother had an active warrant in nearby Johnson County for possession with intent to deliver, and assumed that he was probably hiding in nearby brush until the deputy left the truck, because Kyle doesn't know that Brandon has called 911.
No. Yeah. So he's thinking, I'm not going to rat him out. Like,
right.
And yeah, he's fine. He says he can see us.
Mm-hmm.
He's just right here.
Right when over the
cop,
here. Yes.
Yeah. When the cop leaves, he'll come out.
Right. The truck appeared to have been parked haphazardly. The back end was sticking onto the road, like I said, and the doors had been left unlocked. Brandon's cell phone, wallet, and keys were not in the vehicle. Kyle told Deputy Neal that the pickup did belong to his brother and that Brandon was walking along the road, but having difficulty calling anyone due to poor cell service. He didn't tell the deputy that he'd just spoken to Brandon. And once Kyle and Deputy Neal finished discussing the situation, Kyle drove down the road a short ways and parked to see if Brandon would come out once the deputy had left, but he did not. Kyle, whose paycheck hadn't been deposited into his bank account yet, he couldn't actually get the gas for Brandon. So he ended up leaving the empty can in the bed of Brandon's truck, and he waited for about 45 minutes, but he still never saw Brandon. Now, Kyle and Audrey have their 4-year-old son in the backseat, right? And he's very hungry. He's crying. So they're like, we're just going to drive back to town to get food for our kid. And Kyle said, okay, I figure, he's just out there. He's hiding because of the police. He's going to be out there whenever I go back. When I take gas, maybe the police officer will be gone by then. At 3 a.m., all calls to Brandon's phone began going straight to voicemail, indicating that his phone is either turned off or dead. And around 5 a.m., Kyle returned to Brandon's pickup truck, but unfortunately, Brandon was not there, and Kyle never saw him again.
So after Brandon's 911 call, no one was dispatched to the location that he gave the call taker. The only reason that Deputy Neal showed up was because the trucker had called about a vehicle parked in the road. That's the only reason. And in fact, it wasn't until actually several days after Brandon disappeared that Ledessa discovered the call. So they didn't know initially for a few days that Brandon had ever called 911.
And
they found
help.
That going through the phone records. Right. And the 911 call is one of the biggest question marks in Brandon's disappearance and has been highly debated. Okay, so you've heard the 911 call. Now, Brandon is countryer than a turnip green, and it's a phone call. You know, those are always harder to understand anyway. So we're going to kind of break it down and let you know what is kind of most widely accepted as to like what was on the call. You be the dispatcher.
Okay. 911 emergency.
Yes, I'm in the middle of a field. And then there's like, he says a string of words that
no one can make out.
Nobody can figure out. Yeah. Just pushed or pulled some guys over. Out here going towards Abilene on both sides. My truck ran out of gas. There's one car here. The guy's chasing me through the woods. Please hurry.
Okay, now run that by me one more.
We're not talking to, there'll be no talking to him. I ran into him.
Oh, you ran into him. Okay.
And then he says something that's inaudible. The first guy, it sounded to me like he said, I dropped the first guy or something like that. It's that, what the way that I took it was that there was an altercation and maybe that he had punched the first guy or something. I don't know. It sounds like to me that he says, I dropped the first guy.
Yeah. Do you need an ambulance?
No, I need the cops.
Okay. Is anybody hurt? Hello? Hello? Hello?
And that's it. Why nobody was dispatched, I'm not really sure. Because at the least, he says, I ran into them. And the way that the dispatcher takes it is, I thought that she thought that he hit the car. Yeah. So at the very least, we're talking about a traffic accident, mm-hmm. which a cop would show up to.
Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, the cop that ended up going, Deputy Neal, he would have probably looked at it completely different had he known that it wasn't just an abandoned car on the side of the road, that it was somebody, the owner right. of the truck, had called and asked for assistance mm-hmm. for that whatever reason.
Exactly.
The secret to a great date? Actually, I have no earthly idea. Torella, do you want to take this one?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So of course it's feeling confident from your head right down to your legs.
Yes.
And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Lumi Whole Body Deodorant for pits, privates, and beyond. Lumi is a game-changing whole body deodorant designed by an OBGYN to not work only on pits, but also feet, privates, and everywhere else we get odor. No matter where you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long, all thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula. And they've got over 275,000 five-star reviews to show for it. Make the switch to Lumi, and this Valentine's will be all about head-to-toe confidence. Smells like a second date to me, know what I mean? So our special offer is new customers get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with our exclusive code. Use code QUEENS at LumiDeodorant.com. That's LumiDeodorant.com. And our code is QUEENS.
Lumi is seriously amazing. We both love it so much. But I have literally seen it work wonders on kids and men's feet.
Oh my
and you
gosh.
Know there ain't nothing stankier. Mm-mm. Then those
Can
feet.
I tell you that it has just saved me from passing right out so many times?
Exactly. And not only does it work, but the scents are amazing. And if you're not into a stick deodorant, they have you covered with so many other options. So the whole body deodorant, it's safe to use anywhere on your body, pits, under boobs, thigh folds, belly buttons, and feet. It was created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. Clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. It's insane. But unlike certain deodorants that try to mask odor with fragrance, Lumi is formulated and powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. It's more like a pre-odorant. Baking soda free and paraben free, pH balanced for safe use below the belt. It's clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. And 12 hours after a shower, the average person has an odor level of 6 out of 10. But with Lumi, the average odor level is a 0 out of 10.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like a mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code QUEENS at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use our code QUEENS. There are also a lot of noises in the 911 call that, you know, it's background noise. You can tell that Brandon's running. Maybe he dropped his phone. Maybe he put it in his pocket. A lot of people think that they hear gunshots in the background, or maybe even a second person talking. Kyle says he knows exactly what that noise is. And he says it is a truck coming over the bridge because there's a bridge right there. And, you know, like when there's some where like when you go over the bridge, like the don't, like as you're, he says that's what you're hearing. And he's like, it's that's exactly what that noise is.
Right.
But there's really no, you can try to guess what he says and you can try to understand it. But even people that are close to him can't tell exactly what he's saying. Like we're not sure exactly what he says in the beginning.
No.
Brandon immediately tells the call taker that he's in the middle of a field. And then he says a staper just pulled or pushed some guys over. Kyle and many people think he was trying to say state trooper, but in this like, you know, heightened adrenaline state, he accidentally blended the two words together, which makes sense. He either says staper or stupor.
I do that in a non-heightened state.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Coin toss over here. So, yeah. There was no indication or record that anyone from law enforcement was on the scene near Brandon's truck, except for when Deputy Neal arrived shortly before Kyle. Okay. Kyle also says that when he gets there, he says to Deputy Neal, "My brother ran out of gas. He's walking up the road somewhere. Is it okay with you if I drive up the road a little ways to catch up to him?" And he says, "Sure, but I just came from this direction and he wasn't walking on the road. So there's no reason for you to go that way. Go the other way." And he's like, "Okay, that makes sense." It also sounds like Brandon said that he ran into someone, which again, you know, could have been that he hit a car, a person, maybe figuratively he ran into someone when his vehicle ran out of gas. The 911 call has been slowed down. It has been heavily analyzed, but there's still a lot of debate about what Brandon was saying.
Early morning on August 9th, after Kyle had returned to Brandon's truck and was still unable to locate his brother, Brandon's truck was towed. On August 11th, a small search team was gathered to search the area near where Brandon's truck was abandoned, but Brandon was never found. At that point, a report said that there was a spot under a tree that looked as though someone had sat down on it or in it that was within eyesight of Brandon's vehicle. Just a few days later, the Texas Rangers began investigating Brandon's disappearance, but they came to the same conclusion that Brander was no longer in Coke County.
How? Based on what?
Yeah. How'd you get that?
You look around and say, well, he's not right here. Like, I don't see him. So he's no longer in the county.
Yeah. I've looked everywhere.
Mm-hmm. There is absolutely no way for you to make that determination.
No.
You can say, I don't know where he is.
Yeah. Or, I mean, I would even accept, we don't believe he's in the county. Because maybe you don't. That's dicey to me, too, because people take police, like, if you have a press conference and we put it out there. Yeah. Okay. Well, they don't think he's here, so he must not be here.
Yeah, he's not here, so no need to keep searching.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, that's, and we'll find, anyway. I keep on trying to get right on ahead of myself. August 13th, LaDessa went to Coke County Sheriff's Office to report Brandon missing. And on the same day, Texas Ranger Nick Hanna took a helicopter ride from over the Colorado River south and down both sides of US 277, which is near where Brandon's truck was left. And Deputy Neal's report from Hanna's search read, quote, "It was determined that Lawson was not on the ground due to the fact that there was a lot of exposed bare ground, even under the short mesquite and cedar bushes. Brandon Lawson is not in Coke County, lost or hiding."
Excuse me?
Yeah.
If you talk to anybody who did searches of this area, it is all brush. It is not openly visible.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's the middle of winter and everything's dead. then right. you might be able to see through. But even then, if there's thick brush, the sticks are still there.
Right.
It's still difficult to see through.
Sure. Well, and I mean, he went and sat down by a tree. So there's at least a tree right around there.
Exactly. That you can't see everything from the sky. I just.
Well, and okay. Have they never seen the movie Misery? Because you can't just give it an ocular pat down and be like, he ain't here no more. Because could be anywhere, honestly. Could be
exactly.
somebody could have picked him up and put him in a house somewhere. Still in the county. Because mm-hmm. people live there. Like.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the fact that they didn't do anything with the truck is interesting. They towed it, but it just went to the tow company. And then LaDessa picked it up from there. They mm-hmm. never processed the truck. None of that.
Well, it doesn't seem like, from where I'm sitting, it doesn't seem like they took this as seriously as they should have, with even thinking that it was a missing persons case. It was just like, well, he dumped it. All right, let's get it off the road. Which I understand they had to move it. Like, I get it because it was in the road. I get that.
Yeah. But process it. Because now you can't find
it. Yeah, exactly. I don't understand it. Deputy Neal further emphasized his belief by explaining that Coke County was in the middle of a bad drought, and during the helicopter ride, they could see corn sacks from the air. Quote, if you can see those from the plane, you can see someone lying down.
Okay, Dan.
Yeah, maybe in this little area right here, but what about
right, yeah, there might be pockets of space, yeah, that yeah. you can see. Sure.
On October 24th, 2013, a large-scale search was conducted by the Texas Search and Rescue and several law enforcement agencies, including search dogs, but no sign of Brandon were located. No signs were located. LaDessa, like the rest of Brandon's family, was crushed by Brandon's disappearance. And LaDessa in particular, I can't even imagine. She felt so guilty because the last encounter that she had with him was an argument. And she said, quote, for a long time, I blame myself. I will never get those words back.
That's so sad. You know, that's so yeah. sad. I can't imagine.
And, right. I know. And obviously, you can't, like, I don't think anything that anybody could or would say would make that easier for her, because that's just something that, you know, it's human nature to feel. But you never know when your last interaction is going to be with somebody, and you just never know. She didn't yeah. know.
No, she didn't know. I saw a video the other day and it like kind of, I don't know, it grabbed me. But the guy said that he was like talking to a guy that he worked with, and he was like, yeah, me and my wife got in a big fight or whatever. And they kind of talked it through a little bit. And he said, when I get home, I'll tell her, you know, I'm sorry and, you know, whatever. And he said, what makes you think that's going to happen? And he's like, well, it is going to happen. Like, when I get home, I will talk to her about it. He said, no, what makes you think that you'll get home? Like, you might not. Like, you don't know
yeah,
what's going to happen. And he's like
heavy.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's just sad. But, like, that happens.
Yeah.
People in relationships get into fights. And it's just, yeah, it's so sad for that to be the last interaction. And, you know, that weighs on her. And... Mm-hmm. Oh, I feel so terrible for her. Yeah. Despite LaDessa carrying guilt about her and Brandon's last words with each other, she never believed that Brandon left of his own volition. Quote, Brandon would never run from his kids. And while he did have an outstanding warrant, we were in the process of saving to pay his fine and addressing it through his lawyer. And also, like, okay, so a lot of people said that Brandon had that warrant, right? And because of his past with drugs, he more than likely disappeared intentionally that night. And it's possible, and even probable, according to Kyle, that Brandon was hiding from law enforcement that night, especially when he saw the officer pull up behind his truck. But why would he call 911 and ask for cops to come there?
Right. And the frustrating thing is, I mean, of course, it's like hindsight 2020, obviously, right? But Kyle had no idea. So he's trying to help his brother kind of, you know, he'll stay in hiding. He'll come back out. And I don't know if that would have changed things. It might have. I think it would have made the situation more dire earlier on. Mm-hmm, and maybe yeah. they could have, I don't know if they could have searched that night. You know what I mean? Like in the right. darkness, I don't know. But it's just... I don't know. It's just, it's crazy. The whole thing is very bizarre.
Yeah. And Kyle says, like, not one thing about that night makes sense. One thing makes sense. It all makes no sense. It all is out of character, just doesn't make any sense. But I don't know anything about Deputy Neal, anything like that. But I just wonder if you called for police, like, I need help. It's reminding me of the movie, is it called Crash?
Yes.
The one with all the different people? Okay. So Zoe Saldana, great movie. Zoe Saldana, they get pulled over, her and Matt Dillon, the characters that they play, they're a married couple. They get pulled over and one of the police officers sexually assaults her. And then later she gets into a car accident, I think. And that, or wait, Matt Dillon might be the cop, actually.
Matt Dillon is the cop.
Matt Dillon is the cop. Yeah, she's married to, Terrence Howard.
Terrence Howard. And I don't think it's Zoe Saldana. I think it's... I don't think it's Zoe Saldana. I know who you're talking about, but I can't think of her name for anything.
Oh, in my mind, it was Zoe Saldana. So, yeah, I could be totally wrong.
That, but still,
I've been imagining that this whole time. So she gets into a car accident and the police officer that shows up is Matt Dillon. And she doesn't want to go with him. She needs his help.
Because she's like stuck in the car and it's bad. But
it's bad. And she's afraid to go with him because of the interaction that she had with him before. And I'm just wondering, or maybe he thought it was a different officer that pulled up or something. But he asked for help. He knew that he needed help. But then a police officer gets there. And he sees it because Kyle says, I'm on the phone with him. And he says, I can see you. And Kyle's like, I don't see you. Like, where are you? And then he says to Kyle, there's a police officer pulling up behind you. And Kyle says that, in fact, was happening. He could see me. I know he could see me.
Right.
And he would not come out. So was it something like that where he'd had a previous interaction with a police officer that he felt unsafe when that particular officer showed up? Maybe he mistook Officer Neal for a different, I don't know, but why would he call for help and then run away from it?
Or, I mean, maybe he's had bad interactions with, I don't know if Deputy Neal was a state trooper, but like, and I'm not saying anything, this is speculation, I don't know, but maybe he was, because he called the county police. Mm-hmm. And maybe a state trooper showed up and he's like, I'm not messing with that. And I don't know. Yeah. But
and he did have a warrant out. But the fact that he even called and asked for them to come says to me that he was more afraid of what was
the imminent
happening,
danger that he felt like he was in.
Yeah. Than them arresting him because of his warrant. Like, yeah. He was willing to risk being arrested again to receive the help that he needed. But for whatever reason, this police officer shows up and he won't come out.
Yeah, that's a very good point. A very valid point that it could have
been either
a specific officer, he mistook him for somebody else, or it was maybe just the different, like, I don't mess with, because he said state trooper. That we think he said state trooper or meant it.
Yeah, or maybe, I mean, he's been arrested I don't know how many times before. So it may just be a situation where he doesn't really trust cops. And maybe he felt like whatever that imminent danger was around him, that because his brother was there, that because the police officer was there, maybe the people that were chasing him, he no longer sees them anymore. And he thinks, okay, well, now I don't want to come out because
I don't need a police officer at this point.
Yeah, I don't want to get arrested. And now these people are not chasing me anymore. Like, there's so many different reasons why it could, but it just reminded me of that movie. And I'm just like, you know, is it possible that he'd had an interaction with somebody that made him feel not safe?
Yes, that's
for
really
them to
good.
Be there.
I think the woman that you're thinking of that you think is Zoe Saldana is the woman from, she's in Westworld. She's been in a ton of stuff, but I can't think of her name.
I didn't watch Westworld.
I didn't. Oh, it was really good. So you guys know the song, "The Moon Belongs to Everyone. The best things in life are free."
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, some things in life are you know, free, and that's great. But the best things in our life come from Quince.
Quince is our go-to for luxury essentials at affordable prices. Quince offers a range of high-quality items at prices within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50. You heard that right. That was not a glitch. Okay. Washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out most of the middleman and passes the savings right on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And you know we love that.
Oh my gosh, yes. So, okay, I haven't been able to stop talking about my cashmere top, right? Like, I cannot shut up about it.
Yeah.
I know, but come on, cashmere. And now that I have it, I need the Mongolian cashmere robe.
Ooh.
I would be luxurious AF. Ooh. And that's literally the only life I want to live. And luxury at an amazing price. I mean, come on.
Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/queens for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. So that's Quince, quince.com/queens to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/queens. So law enforcement seemed to be under the impression that Brandon had left the area in another vehicle. This was initially based on the fact.
Okay, so let's workshop that, though. So how do you know he's not in the county still? All you did was search the area. You didn't search everywhere in the county. You didn't go into every home. You didn't. But if
you
that is
right here and said he's not in the county.
If that is by from y'all, that's what you think or seem to be under the impression of, then how the hell are you going to go and say he's not even here anymore? That don't make no sense.
No, unless the county, the whole county, is this field.
Right.
Is that its own county? I don't think so.
I don't know.
Like, yeah. And they said, well, we can't find him right here. We can't find him. He's not right here. There are no signs of foul play. Wouldn't parking your vehicle hanging out on the fucking highway and hightailing it out of there, parking so haphazardly that somebody's going to hit your car and you're abandoning ship in a hurry
and calling asking for help from police. I don't like the liberties that some law enforcement have taken. And just, well, I don't think that happened. So therefore, it is fact. That's not fair. Because
he probably got in a car.
Don't know.
You don't know that. You absolutely don't know that. And they also felt like, you know, well, Brandon and Ledessa were in a big fight. You know, we have those text messages. Like, he probably just, are you in an OFT? But everybody, his family, his friends, everybody said this would not have happened. Like, he would not have just run off. His dad said, quote, something happened that night and it wasn't him meeting a girl and driving off somewhere. Brandon had already done some state jail time and Brandon wasn't afraid to take the punishment that was dealt to him. No, I do not believe that, not for a minute. It took a lot more than that to scare Brandon. Kyle also knew his brother wasn't perfect, but he said, this is just not a man that would abandon his family. He said, quote, my brother might have been a felon and might have messed with drugs and might have relapsed, but my brother worked for what he had. He loved his children. He took care of his children. He was a good person. Some believe that based on Brandon's history and the strange 911 call that he was under the influence of drugs. And like we said, like Kyle does say in the Crawlspace interview, I know for a fact that he was on drugs that night. Like, I know that he went and he got the meth and he had done the meth. Like, I know that he was. But he did say that he asked Brandon, because when Brandon called him, what Brandon said to Kyle was, Ledessa has three Mexicans chase from our neighborhood chasing me out of town. Kyle says that's what Brandon told him. And he said, none of that makes sense. Obviously, Ledessa did not like hire people to run him out of town.
Right.
they don't know every, like, there's nobody in their neighborhood that matches this, you know, like, he's like, that just doesn't make sense.
No, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, there's nothing to prove that.
No. And so he asked Brandon, are you tripping? Like, are you so high that you're imagining shit, basically? And he said that Brandon told him, no, dude, I am not tripping. This is happening. You know, could he have been hallucinating while on meth?
Right. And I would imagine, like you said, we've both never done meth, so I don't know. I can't think of a time when I have hallucinated, but would I know that I was hallucinating while I was hallucinating? Like, is that, you know?
Exactly.
Do you believe your reality, quote unquote?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. There's also, you know, a lot of stuff in this area. So if he believed that he was being chased, because also when the cops got there, Kyle drove over there. There was nobody else there. There were no other vehicles. There were no other people.
Mm-mm.
You know, so if he had been suffering from delusions and he was running on foot out there, there's a lot of stuff in the area that could have harmed him in some way. There's rattlesnakes, coyotes, feral hogs. There's a guy, Jason Watts, who had gone to high school with him, and we'll talk about him a lot more later, but I watched an interview with him on, it's with John Lorden.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a few different channels. I don't remember which channel this is, but he says when they were doing different searches, like there was one search in particular where they were out there for a really, really long time, and it was starting to get later and later. And he said, I wanted to get out of there before the wild hogs came out. Like, I did not want to be anywhere out there when the wild hogs come out, because they come out at night. So I don't know anything about wild hogs. Like, I've never dealt with them or anything like that.
But I've heard that they are really dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, could he have been on foot running away from a perceived threat, whether, you know, it was real or not?
Yeah.
And then something happened. A snake bite him. A hog get a hold of him or something. He's, you know, maybe he's crouched down hiding and some, you know, like.
Or, I mean, if he's wandering out in this brush, and I don't know how long he, you know, we can't know these things, but it's been a drought. He didn't bring a gallon of water with him. Like, I don't.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
He just succumbed to the elements.
Yeah, that's possible. That absolutely happens. And August in Texas is fucking hot. The hottest days of the year that we've ever had here typically fall. My wedding was August 31st of 2013. Mm-hmm. And that was the hottest damn day of the year. Like, yes. Our wedding pictures, everybody's just completely drenched in sweat.
If you showed up in a light blue shirt, you left with a dark blue shirt. Like, yeah. It was just, yeah.
And it wasn't a daytime wedding. It wasn't like we got married at fucking 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, it was hotter than hell. So without water, you're sweating. I mean, yeah, stuff can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So Texas Ranger Hannah would not discuss what he thought happened to Brandon. But Ledessa said that he told her that he believes Brandon's body is somewhere on the land surrounding the area where he was last seen. Searches using helicopters, ATVs, and several other agencies and resources took place during August, September, and October of 2013, as well as January, February, and July of 2014, but Brandon was not located. A private investigator, Paula Boudreaux, helped track down leads, mostly ones that came into the Help Find Brandon Lawson Facebook page. Both Boudreaux and Brandon's family searched the area countless times, although there were several pieces of land that the owners would not allow to be searched. However, Boudreaux said that she was told by law enforcement that they have cleared those areas already.
Hey y'all, did you know that we release an update all about us and what we're up to each week on our Patreon? It's called Tea to the Fourth Power Y, which is some time to talk to you, a nod to Not Another Teen Movie. Mm-hmm. And it's where we just gal pal with you about life, what we're watching, our love for Cracker Barrel Italian dressing. I mean, honestly, the sky's the limit.
You never know what you're going to get, really. Mm-hmm. If you want to catch an episode without being a patron, you are in luck. Just head over to killerqueens.link/TTTTY. Okay, time to talk to you, 4 T's and a Y, and you'll get to hear a full episode for free. And you can get every single regular release episode ad-free for as little as $3 a month. That's less than half the price of the coffee I get at Starbucks, so.
I know, that's crazy.
I know, what a deal.
Mm-hmm. And for $10 a month, you get all that plus our other 2 Patreon-exclusive shows, Murder Mixtapes, which is a full bonus case each week. Recent cases are Tara Grinstead, Hannah Cornelius, and New York Body Snatchers, just to name a few.
And you also get our other Patreon-exclusive show, Doc Jams, which is where we cover true crime documentaries episode by episode. We've done Don't Fuck With Cats. We've done Crime Scene on Netflix. They have Cecil Hotel and Times Square Killer. We've done The Jinx. We've done so many more. So be sure to head to killerqueens.link/TTTY to get your free episode and hundreds more episodes to download right now and binge when you become a member of our Patreon community. In 2019, Kyle did the interview that we've referenced on the Crawl Space podcast. He clarified information of the night that Brandon went missing. That's when he said, I know for sure he was on meth that night. But, and he said, you know, Brandon kept saying, no, I'm not high. And he was like, I know that he was. So Kyle said on the night of August 7th, when Brandon had called him asking if he knew where he could get meth, he'd told his brother, remember, don't need to do that. But he kind of insisted, you know, saying, I'm not going to get in trouble for it. I've already had my drug test. It's not going to affect anything. Like, I just want to smoke a little bit. So Kyle said Brandon picked up one of their friends. The two went to get high. And that this is the night that Brandon didn't return home. The next day, Kyle still hadn't heard from Brandon. So he called LaDessa, who also did not know where Brandon was. So Kyle called around, finally getting in touch with his brother who'd been at a friend's house in Fort Worth. Brandon assured Kyle that he was heading home soon. So, yeah, I was out all night. Everything's fine. Later that night, August 8th, Brandon and Kyle's mother called Kyle, asking him if he could go over to Brandon's house to try and calm him down. Brandon and LaDessa were having a heated argument. This is the one that ultimately caused Brandon to leave the house. As Kyle headed over to the house, Brandon called him, already on the road. And that's when he told LaDessa, that's when he told Kyle that LaDessa had some Mexicans from the neighborhood chasing him out of town. Brandon said that a state trooper had pulled one of them over, but the other two were still chasing him, and then he hung up the phone. So it sounds like he's saying that there's 3 cars following him.
Yeah.
Which, if you're driving down the road and there's cars around you, you know, I'm not going to say that I've never thought a car was following me.
Same.
More than one time have I not pulled into my own driveway because I wanted to see where somebody else was going to pull off.
Yeah, I mean, if they take like more than 2 turns the same as me, I'm like, what is this guy? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm about to get kidnapped for sure. Yeah. So like, yeah, if there's cars that seem like they're together and they're taking the same turns that you're taking, or, you know, they've been driving down the same highway for a super long time, like, I don't know.
And you're already in a heightened state of possibly paranoia, then you're going to, I mean, you know.
Right. But the way that he made it sound was that, because he said the state trooper pulled one of them over, but the other two are still after him. So it sounds like he's referencing 3 separate cars, not like 3 people in one car.
Right.
And then he hung up the phone. And so that's when the barrage of phone calls started. So Brandon called Kyle back, and that's when he tells him he was about to run out of gas. During the other phone calls, Kyle said that Brandon would just say a few words like, where are you, or hurry up, and then just hang up the phone. So again, not typical behavior.
Right.
You know, that Brandon is normally doing. Kyle said during the interview that during these phone calls, his brother sounded out of breath, like he was running. So as Kyle pulled up to Brandon's truck, Brandon called again and asked him where he was. Kyle said that he was pulling up right then, and then Brandon hung up. So Kyle made a U-turn and parked on the opposite side of the road, and he got out and walked over to Brandon's truck. Brandon asked him again, and Brandon called him again, and Kyle asked him where he was. And that's when he said, I'm right here, and said, you know, there's a cop pulling up or whatever. And he couldn't see Brandon. Like, Brandon says, I can see you. But Kyle is looking and he's like, dude, I don't see you. And he's like, there's a cop pulling up. Kyle reported that Brandon said to him, on time, run. And Kyle explained that the term on time is slang for cop. And that Brandon was alerting him that the cop was pulling up behind him and that he should run. And so Kyle said that he tells Brandon, dude, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm not going to run. And he said that Brandon responded, where is your pride, motherfucker? And then he hung up the phone. During these short calls, Kyle said that Brandon sounded like he was standing still. He didn't hear the like out of breath or rustling around or anything like that. And Kyle says, I know that he could see me because he told me that the officer was pulling up and he did in fact pull up.
Right.
You know, we also talked about the gunshots, that people think that there were gunshots, but Kyle explains that's exactly what it would sound like if something was coming over the bridge. And he does believe that when he said staper, that his brother was trying to say state trooper. And I don't know, obviously, I don't know Brandon. I've never talked to him before. When you listen to the call, he does sound intoxicated in some way.
Right.
Especially, and so if you're intoxicated in some way, that's another reason that you might blend two words together, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And say staper instead of state trooper.
Like, talking in cursive, right?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, he still says none of this makes any sense at all. And he also told them, because the people on Crawlspace said, is this how he would normally talk to you? Like the, where is your pride, motherfucker? Like that kind of thing. And he's like, no, that's not how he would normally talk to me. He said, but if there was a situation that he felt was like dire, like very, like an emergency, he would get more stern. So he's like, I think that maybe that's why he chose that verbiage. And they asked him like, what do you make of that? What does that mean? And he's like, I don't know what it means because none of it made any sense, right? Not one thing from this night makes sense. He's like, but the way that I took that was, like, where is your pride? Why would you just let them, you know, arrest you, like, run?
Right.
Don't let them get you kind of thing.
Yeah.
Kyle told Crawlspace that he was questioned by law enforcement shortly after Brandon disappeared. And he felt like that they seemed to think that he had picked Brandon up that night and dropped him off somewhere and was just lying about it. Kyle ended up asking for a polygraph test and he ultimately passed two different ones. Because of his brother continuing to mention a state trooper, Kyle mentioned concerns about the deputy that responded that night. And they asked him, are you suspicious of him? And he's like, well, not necessarily, but I'd like him to take a polygraph test just because I said I wanted to go drive down the road. And he told me specifically not to go the one direction because that's the way he just came and he hadn't seen anybody down there. Could right. be true. But could he also have been telling me to go a different way for a reason? Like,
well, and I think that it's only fair. Like, I mean, there are great cops and there are trustworthy and loyal and, you know, all of the things, moral, ethical cops. But there are also, unfortunately, in every profession, you've got good and you got bad. Mm-hmm. And I'm not accusing Deputy Neal of either or. I don't know him. But if Kyle, who hadn't done anything, if he's going to be questioned and investigated or looked into, then why shouldn't Deputy Neal?
Right. Yeah. I mean,
it's only fair.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And again, Brandon could have mistaken him for somebody else. But, sure. You know, Kyle says, again, it's just so strange because he specifically asked for law enforcement to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells Kyle to run.
Right.
And he stays hidden.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to tell a sibling to run when you believe they are in danger for some reason.
Right.
It could be a multitude of reasons. It could be just, I'm worried you'll get arrested or I'm worried you'll get in trouble or whatever.
Like you busting us out of our playpen and you telling me to run and save mm-hmm. myself. And
exactly.
I heeded that warning.
Yeah. I saw the door about to close and I thought it's too late for me, but you fucking save yourself. And we were like 4-2.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's just like he perceived some sort of danger.
Absolutely.
So let's just look into it. Like, you know, it could be that he was just in an altered state of mind and wasn't perceiving things properly, but like, let's just see. I don't know.
And let's not have an internal investigation about it. Is that too much to ask?
Yeah. We looked through it and decided that we did everything right.
We had Deputy Neil look through it and decide.
Yeah. And decided that Deputy Neil. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he just said, you know, I think that he should take a polygraph test too. Like, let's just all do it. Like, whoever was at the scene that night, let's all do it.
And again, I'm not accusing anybody of doing anything. It's, you know, all this is like speculation at best, but let's use the verbiage that the police love to use. We're doing this to rule you out.
There you go.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm just saying, let's rule you out.
Exactly. Yeah, let's just make sure.
So on February 4th, 2022, LaDessa made a post on the Help Find Brandon Lawson Facebook page. Quote, first and foremost, I want to tell each of you that I appreciate all of your support, kind words, prayers, assistance, concern, and love that has been given to me and my family over the course of the last 8.5 years. Being Brandon's partner in life and knowing him, I know that he would feel hallowed knowing that so many people took the time to share his story. It is deeply appreciated and has helped our family in so many ways find comfort. Answers are something that we have searched for, and today I'm sharing with you that we now have some of those answers. It is with a heavy heart and great difficulty that we have an important update regarding Brandon's case. Our family's long-awaited journey to find answers draw near. For years, we have gone to great lengths to search the area of Brandon's last known whereabouts. Many searches have been conducted in various ways to locate any potential clues. We have had a circle of supporters assisting us in locating Brandon throughout the process. Recently, one of those advocates led a small search party in the vicinity of Brandon's last known location. The search team came upon some clothing that were consistent with Brandon's clothing. Authorities in local law enforcement were contacted and were able to take the evidence in for testing. The Texas Rangers conducted a search that ultimately led them to discover human remains in this same area. Although DNA tests are needed to confirm identification, it's in our hearts that we know that it is Brandon.
I mean, what are the odds that they find the clothing that he was wearing?
Yeah.
I don't. And exactly what he was wearing. Camouflage shorts, the exact same shoes in area.
Yeah. And actually the person, the friend that you were talking about, Jason Watts, he's the one that was searching a piece of property near the area. Mm-hmm. And he found a Nike Air Max tennis shoe. And then about 50 to 75 feet ahead, he found the other shoe, the, you know, if this shoe had a mate, if this one mate, along with a pair of camouflage MMA shorts, like you said. And on top of the clothing, they also found some bone fragments. And the search group alerted law enforcement, who cleared the area and continued the search, finding more bone fragments. And like I said, or like LaDessa said, they have been taken to the lab for DNA testing.
Mm-hmm. And just what are the odds that you find all of these things together and it's not, it is what he wore that night.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when Jason Watts was asked why the landowners hadn't allowed previous searches on their land, he explained that the people that lived on this property, they didn't live there permanently or in the area, and they didn't even know about the search or anything about it. So once they found out, they were like, of course, search the property, but they didn't know at the time.
Yeah, they didn't know Brandon was missing. And they said that nobody in law enforcement had ever contacted them and asked to search.
Well, yeah, because they were like,
when Jason Watts asked them, that was the first time. Yeah, exactly.
Though results are still pending, Brandon's loved ones believe that they finally have some closure. Along with the fragments being located with what is very likely Brandon's clothing, the remains were found within a 1 mile distance from where his truck was parked.
He's not in the county. Fuck off.
While the probable location of Brandon Lawson's remains confirmed that he didn't intentionally leave his family, which surely brings them comfort, it unfortunately still leaves many questions unanswered. His loved ones remain hopeful that the analysis of the clothing and remains will bring more answers.
Oh, yes. And we just send his family and friends all the
love and support.
Prayers, and love and support. Yes. Yeah. And I think that if you go to the Help Find Brandon Lawson Facebook page, we'll link it. There is also, I saw it on the John Lorden interview too. They're taking donations for them as well. So you can absolutely help monetarily if you feel compelled to do so. And of course, when those results come back, I mean, it's been 2 years. It still hasn't been done, but when those results come back, we'll definitely update.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's it.
That is it. And of course, as always, we would love to know what you guys think about any part that we have discussed on any of the cases, honestly. And you can take those to Instagram, Facebook, wherever you want to, if you want to start a dialogue there. But thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We love you, and we'll catch you next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on this case. Connect with us on Instagram or Facebook to continue the conversation.
Thanks for listening, and we will meet you back here next week.
Bye.
The theme song for the show is created and composed by Stephen Toby. You can find more of Stephen's work on SoundCloud.
Our logo was created by Sloane Williams of Sophisticated Crayon. You can find more of her work on Etsy. Visit us at killerqueenspodcast.com for merch and other info about the show.